Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 84. This is a psalm that was written for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were those who sang the psalms in Solomon's temple. Psalm 84, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thy anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May God write this word upon our hearts. The parents this morning have asked for the sermon to be based on verses 5 through 7. Psalm 84, 5 through 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, holy baptism is God's sign to us and to our children that He has made us spiritual pilgrims on this earth, journeying now to heaven. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what shall I do? The water of baptism is not only, as we commonly think, the sign of the washing away of our sins in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It is. It is a sign of cleansing. But the water of baptism is also a sign of separation. Separation from the world unto God. You remember with me that the Apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reminds us of the Red Sea and likens it unto baptism and tells us there that the water of the Red Sea separated Israel from Egypt. Egypt fell into destruction and judgment, and Israel through baptism were separated from Egypt and made to be the people of God. So baptism is a sign that God has taken you and He has taken now your children with you out of this world and made you a member of His church and kingdom and made you a pilgrim journeying to Zion. I'm glad that I do not feel comfortable in this world. I'm glad that by the work of the Spirit, I sense this morning that by grace I no longer belong to the mindset, to the world. This is by grace, for Jesus said in the night that He was betrayed, "If you were of the world, if you were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you." That means that the hopes and the life and the attitude and the goals and the loves and the amusement and the reason for life that is found in the world, what they're living for, what their life is, no longer ours. That's not our life. It is all vanity to us, apart from the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. But it means that now by grace there lives in us a hope. Our hearts are set upon God. Our hearts have been made joyful in Jesus Christ. Our strength is in the Lord God. His ways are in our heart. The life of heaven is in us. The hope of heaven is before us. The fellowship of God is our treasure in this world, not the earthly things. The hope of the Spirit drives us. The things of the kingdom of heaven motivate our life. Our life, the Apostle says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, our life is now hid in Christ with God. We are pilgrims. Is that true of you? Do you feel that? You feel that pull? Is this how you parent? Is this how you parent your children? You direct your family? What do you want for your family? How do you want them to live? What do you set their teeth upon? The sweets of this world? The things only of this life, or the sweetness of Christ Jesus and eternal life? If our hope is in Christ above, as represented now in baptism, then there will be one great characteristic of your life. There'll be others, but there'll be one great one. You will love God's house. Psalm 84 is a pilgrim's psalm. It's describing to us the journey of an Old Testament saint and his family on their way to worship God in His house in Jerusalem. Verse 5 speaks of the singular of a man, and later on the pronoun changes to plural they, and we are warranted to then picture this man with his family on their way to worship God in Jerusalem. It becomes very clear about this pilgrim that he loves God's house, that he loves God's worship. It becomes obvious that his great and his overwhelming yearning while he's on earth is that he would draw near to God in the house of praise. He feels the need of the encouragement of God's people. He feels a need to be among the people of God. He feels a need for God to speak to him in his house. Notice, he says, "How lovely, how amiable, how lovely are thy tabernacles." He finds his heart and his soul longing and thirsting for the Sabbath day. He envies the swallows who have made their nests in the eaves of the house of God. And these swallows are bringing up their little ones, their young, under the shadow of God's house. He envies that. He says that they are blessed to dwell in the house of God. He concludes the psalm by saying, "I had rather stand as a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be in the tents of wickedness on this day." He loves the house of God. But he's journeying. He has to journey to Zion. And to journey to Zion for him meant that he had to go through the valley of Baca, which is the valley of tears. He has to go through it. If he's not willing to go through the valley of Baca, he cannot make it to Zion. And in that valley, that terrible valley of tears, he begins to find God's power and strength in wonderful and miraculous ways being given to him. And so he says, they go forward from strength to strength. They're not defeated. They're not despairing. They're not beaten. They're not weakened. They don't just finally make it through. But they go from strength to strength until finally every one of them appears in Zion before God. Let's consider that this morning using the theme of family's pilgrimage to Zion. Let's note that we must pass through the valley of Baca, that on that way we will be strengthened by rivers of grace, waters of grace. And then let's conclude, if only briefly, that we will be home at last. Everyone, verse 7, who will appear in Zion before God must first pass, verse 6, through the valley of Baca. There is no other way. All of our spiritual fathers who have gone before us have spoken to us of this valley of Baca. They have spoken to us of this valley when we were yet boys and little girls. They spoke to us of the reality of this present life of sin and death through which they were traveling, because their hope was upon God. The baptism form, the fathers, when they wrote the baptism form, wrote for us to pray this way this morning, that this little boy would bear his cross and would cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, ardent love. And then we prayed that this little boy would at his appointed time leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death. Our fathers in Lord's Day 9, when explaining to us the phrase that we believe in God our Father, had us say it this way: that means that I rely upon God so entirely as my Father that He will make whatever evils He is pleased to send upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my salvation. The valley of Baca is the valley of tears. It was a well-known valley. It was in the tribe of Naphtali of the tribes of Israel, and Naphtali of the 12 tribes of Israel was given its land in the northernmost section of Canaan. Naphtali was the furthest of all the tribes from Jerusalem and from the temple. The people from Naphtali had the longest journey. And on top of that, to get to Jerusalem, they had to pass through Baca, which they called weeping or tears. They called it that because this valley would reduce you to tears because of all the difficulties and dangers that were in that valley. The descent, we are told, into this valley was treacherous. It was slate rock and slippery and jagged and loose, producing a rock slide. When you finally reached the valley floor, it was desert and sand and it was hot. There were narrow passages through which you had to pass with boulders. And in these narrow passages, there would be robbers waiting. For the Israelites, you remember, would carry with them money for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. And they would bring their family. And of course, a family would be a target of any highwayman. There would be scorpions and snakes. And when finally they worked their way through the valley, the ascent out of the valley was also daunting. Huge boulders stood before you, rising up with apparent no way through them. They had to pass through the valley of Baca to come before God in Zion. This is a picture, beloved. God is painting us a picture. The Almighty, when He created the world and Canaan and that valley, was painting a spiritual picture for you this morning of your spiritual journey, of what it means to be a child of God with your family in this world. We are pilgrims. Our hope is upon that city of God, the house of God, which is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have been born again, says Peter, unto a living hope by the resurrection of Christ. Our hope is God, to be with Christ. With the Apostle Paul, we say, for me to die and to be with Christ is gain. That's your direction, right? Your heart? Where's your heart? What's pulling? What's pulling on your heart today? What's pulling on your heart as a young person, as a child today? What really do you want? What's the tug? Water of baptism says that the Holy Spirit puts a tug into the hearts of everyone saved by the blood of Jesus. And that tug is above. The things of this life cannot satisfy me. But to go there, we must pass through the valley of Baca. The Apostle reminds us of this in 1 Peter 1 when he says, it must needs be, it is necessary. It is necessary that you are in heaviness now through manifold trials, many types of trials, that the trying of your faith being more precious to God than the trying of silver and gold, that the trying of your faith might be found in that day to the praise and to the glory of God. God is refining us in the valley of Baca. Distress, death, sickness, sorrows, despair. And then on top of all of that, living in this present world of sin and curse and death, on top of that, as the children of the covenant, as the children of God, we have enemies. In the valley of Baca, our flesh, the devil, and the world would bring upon us persecution, temptation, ridicule. And then on top of it, so the valley of sin and death, and the opposition of an unbelieving world, and then on top of it, we carry through the valley of Baca a burden of sin. And that burden makes us weep. And it's because of that burden that we journey on, because we're looking toward that altar that the psalmist referred to, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's describe for just a moment this morning the valley of Baca, more personally, as a family, and then as also as a congregation. The valley of Baca includes the death of a newborn baby girl. It includes the death of a son. It includes the death of a husband with four children, the death of a wife, the death of a husband, the death of a father, a mother, a brother, a sister. The Valley of Baca includes cancer. incurable cancer, brain cancer. The Valley of Baca includes being forsaken of a spouse. The Valley of Baca includes the earnest prayers to have a child, and the Lord does not give that child. It includes special needs children. It includes a young family, and the man is struggling and burdened to provide for his family. It includes struggles in marriage to crucify that old man, that pride, and to humble ourselves and to repent. It includes our sins. God brings us through the valley of weeping. Is that not so? That you pass through the valley of Baca? Is this not why we come to church? This is why we come to this place. We do not come to this place because we are robotons. We have somehow been mechanically wired to do this on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening. We come to God's house because we desire strengthening as we journey through Baca. Now note with me, before we pass from this point about the Valley of Baca, note with me about the person who indeed would travel through this Valley of Baca. For we could say that if this is what it means to go up to Zion for this man from Naphtali, why would he bother? Why would he not convince himself that he can sit at home as well? Why could he not say for his family that there are better roads than this way? The way of a Christian? The way of commitment to the church? The commitment to the Christian schools? The commitment to provide for my family? There's smoother roads than that. There's highways. There's the fast lane of life. There's lust. There's greed. There's living for myself. Shouldn't I live for myself? I have a right, don't I? For my career, for things, for pleasures, there's certainly a smooth and a scenic road that you could put your family on, isn't there? At least for a little while. For those roads that I just described, the highways, lead to a valley that the Bible calls Gehenna. Hell. Look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Literally, in whose heart are the ways to God's house. His heart wants to walk the way to God's house, is the point. The man who's on this road through the Valley of Baca is a man strength is in the Lord, that is, his dependence is on God. He has truly come to say, Lord, I can't. You have to hold me up. His strength is not his looks. His strength is not his talents, his tongue, his intelligence, his income, his friends, his position. He doesn't rely upon these things. His strength is his God. He trusts in God. And in his heart are the ways of God's heart, of God's house. He wants to come to God's house to praise God. He's not simply an outward follower to the Lord's day. He desires to come to God's house not because of the architecture. He's not coming for a statue that he can bow down before a statue. But he wants to make progress in his faith. He wants to lean upon God with all of his heart. That's why he's come to church. And so here's the point. This is the point being made. Families who will live for heaven, families on the way to heaven, our families who love God's house. Those two are inseparable. It is in God's house that we are strengthened, we are reminded, we are encouraged for that hope. Apart from God's house, we depart from the way of eternal life. Remove church. Remove worship from your young family. Remove the church from being the center of your life. And slowly, but it will happen. Slowly, the things of eternal life and of Christ will be lost from your heart and soul, and your life will be, today especially, your life will become the life of all those who do not have the hope of Christ and don't seek Him on this day. The house of God, commitment to the church, keeping the Sabbath as a young family, all of us, but as a young family, this gives the direction and the pull to heaven. And that's the way that is. That means that as a young family, bring your family up in the house of God. David did not, well, I'm not sure if David wrote this psalm, but the psalmist did not consider getting everybody together through that valley an imposition, a hardship. But he looked at it as something lovely. He wanted to have his family there with him. There was to him nothing more desirable than the church, to be involved in the church and to be engaged in the church and to be part of the worship of God. Nothing must hinder us. We must not allow little things to hinder us from seeking God and His sanctuary on Sunday. There are many who in their generations formerly, now Christians, who former generations were to be found twice on the Lord's Day in church. There are now many, a multitude, who will allow just about anything to hinder them from coming to church. And it better be a smooth and easy way to come to church. While we do not allow things to interfere with our pleasures, with our passions, the things that we want, so readily we can allow things to keep us home on a Sunday night. The heart of that faith that is yearning for glory, the heart of the true faith and religion of Christ, is the sincere desire to serve Him in His sanctuary, to make my way to the house of God with my family, to bring up my children in the communion of the church of Jesus Christ, in a sincere love of Christ Jesus, my Savior. I can't travel to Baca alone. I need the communion of God's family. You remember Lot, who pitched his tent toward Sodom. The flap of his door tent opened to see Sodom, and soon he was there in a house. As a young couple, wherever you buy your house, whatever it is, whether it's little more than a tent or whether it's something more than a tent, the door of your house must open to the church. I'm not talking directions, I'm talking spiritually. When that door opens, your life and your kids. The Church of Jesus Christ. In that valley, God provided strength to the pilgrim. In that valley of Baca, the man with his family and wife and children was not left. God did not say as he descended into the valley, "I'll meet you on the other side." But baptism is a promise that God will provide strength for this pilgrim's family and guidance and hope, who passing through, we read, the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength unto Zion. God would provide for the people of Naphtali rain. And that rain would fill pools. It's not referring to wells, that there was actually wells in that desert, but it's referring to the fact that the Israelites would chisel out of rocks a cistern. They would chisel out of a flat rock a convex crater which would hold the water. And then God would send the rain. And in this way, God would provide refreshing water. They would renew and bathe themselves. They could drink and they could go on to face the dangers. And so, we sang a moment ago, though passing through a vale of tears, Thy grace, O God, to them appears with winged hope, hope on wings, coming down by the Spirit to your heart, and power impelling, causing you to go on. The wilderness by showers blessed is now a pilgrim's veil of rest. This was God's provision. God made the provision, or there would be no hope for the pilgrim. It's very clear that it was of God, for because God sent the rain. Men don't make it rain. God does that. When God sends the rain, He provides for the creatures and for the plants and for us. And the rain was sufficient. It filled the pools. They could drink. They could be refreshed. And so this strength that God has given to us is the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's the strength of God's grace. It's the strength that is found in God's Son, Jesus Christ. It is the strength that was promised. In the water is a sign. God promised strength. God promised grace. God promised to refresh us. And to be with us in this valley. God reminded us that God sent His Son into the valley of Baca, that He was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that He overcame our sin and now, risen by His Spirit, is with us to walk through the valley with us. It is not our strength, but it is that strength that God gives to us through faith in Jesus Christ. God supplies our strength because God gave His Son out of His eternal will and decree for our salvation. God supplies our strength, the grace for our strength as children of God, because our salvation rests upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It's all of Him. God gives us strength because the Holy Spirit is the one who supplies to us that sufficient grace for every burden, every sorrow, for everything in the valley of Baca. God uses means to supply that grace, that water. The family that we see here is, as we've said, a family journeying to the house of God. And so that means is the preaching of the Word of God. In the preaching of the Word of God that the Bible teaches us, Christ Paul says, Christ sent me to preach the gospel. In that preaching, God says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and drink. In that preaching, we hear the voice of the shepherd bringing us an abiding word, a true word, a sufficient word. We must come unto the preaching of the Word of God and its truth, where we can have the streams of water and go from Sabbath to Sabbath. We must hear what God will say. And then to that preaching, God has added the sacraments. The baptism and the Lord's Supper. He's added the sacraments. Because in these sacraments, He says this. Come and see. I've told you in my word. Now come and see that the blood of Christ, as water cleanses, so the blood of Christ cleanses you from all your sins. I swear it. When that happened, God swore an oath. I supply you all your needs in the valley of Baca. Come, come and see as you eat the bread and drink the wine of the Lord's Supper. And then God supplies us His grace. With joyful, united worship, we come out of the valley of tears to the house of God, not only for the means of grace, to the preaching and sacraments. That's important. But we come because we need to be surrounded by fellow believers. In the Valley of Tears, in Baca last week, we believed that we were all alone. We were separated from each other, and Satan pounced upon us in our difficulties. And we concluded at times that we were the only one who could ever feel this way. We even listened to him when he said, you know, there's really nobody who really cares for you and for your soul. So it is when you go through the Valley of Baca. You think that way. But then within God's house, we commune with each other in the Spirit of Christ. And you say, she's going through the same thing. He struggles with the same temptation that I do. That family is scaling the same problems that we are scaling. That couple is experiencing what we're experiencing. God gives us strength, not just through the preaching, so that we could sit home and get it online. But God gives us strength through communion so that we don't come just to sit and then leave without a word, don't talk with fellow worshipers, don't greet. We must constantly be greeting those who come to worship. That's right, that's good. But we don't just leave and go into the parking lot. We need the grace of God that will come to me through my brother and through my sisters. Hebrews says, Be not neglectful to entertain strangers, because some have actually, unknown to them, entertained angels. Did you know that for the burden and trial you're carrying today, God could well have sent an angel here? Oh, he's going to look like the person you've been worshiping with for the last 10 years. But it may be that very person who as an angel of grace will bless you today. That's the church of God. And so the psalmist says, in the valley, we go from strength to strength. That's very striking. Because I would conclude, if I had written that, I would not have written that. I would have said, through the valley they get weaker and weaker and fatigued. And finally we stumble out of the world and we barely make it into heaven. I would say that, is this not better to vision it as a survivor who's walking through a desert and his face is now gaunt and he has become delirious without water and he needs to be held up and finally he just makes it out. But God says, no, that's not the way of faith. It is the way that often appears to us when I think of me. When I take my eye off of Christ, when I take my eye off of His Word, and when I take my life out of His church, then my faith does indeed grow dim. If I separate myself from my fellow believers, then indeed I find that I become very weary. And the world and sin become relentless upon me, and it seems as if I'm hardly going to make it. I can hardly make this. And God says, no. They go from strength to strength. God is continually supplying fresh grace. Let the Apostle Paul explain this verse. 2 Corinthians 4, he's explaining this verse. Knowing that He which raised up our Lord Jesus from the dead shall also raise us up from the dead and present us with you. For which cause, so He's spoken to us of the fact that God has raised us with Christ, for which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man perishes, yes. Deaths and trials and sorrows and tears. But the inward man is being renewed day by day from strength to strength till they appear, everyone, in Zion before God. Zion was called the Mount of God's Holiness. Zion is not the same as Moriah. Moriah was where the temple was built. Zion was where the king's house was built. And Zion was beautiful for situations, Psalm 48. And on top of Zion was the palaces of a king. On top of Zion was the fortress of David's house, the bulwark. There were towers. Mark ye well her bulwarks, number ye her towers, Psalm 48. There were towers for defense. Zion was a picture of the glorified church. Zion, Mount Zion, was a picture of the majesty of King Christ. As the victor and all the nations before Him in ruin, the pilgrim arrives in the security of heaven. We arrive where no tear, no pain, no struggle can reach us. We arrive in radiant joy when we arrive in Zion. And not just in Zion, but the psalmist says, we appear before God Himself. And that's the goal. The goal is God Himself. Heaven is not our goal per se. Heaven is our goal because it's the place where we appear before God, where we will worship God, where we will praise God, where we will be with God, where we will be ravished by His love, where our hearts shall be made glad in Him, where we will bow before His majesty and beauty when we appear before God. then everything will be made plain to me about the valley of Baca, and I and you will adore him and bow down in praise and joy. Is this where you're going? Is this your longing? Is this the pull? Is this the thing that is your life? Do you say, this world is not my home? I seek a city whose builder and maker is God. I live a pilgrim's life. I live a pilgrim's life with my family. We journey through the valley of Baca, but His love and grace to me appears and fills the pools with living water. And we set our heart upon Zion. Baptism is God's oath that He has made you and me spiritual pilgrims journeying towards Zion. Blessed is such a man. Blessed is such a family. Amen. We thank Thee for Thy Word, a Word that encourages us, a Word that renews the flames of hope created in us by the Holy Spirit for eternal life, a Word that reminds us of what this life is, lest we become lost and get on the wrong road. A Word that reminds us that pilgrims journey from Sunday to Sunday in the house of God, that pilgrims journey in the church. Bless that Word for Thy glory and for our families and for our young families and for our little boys and girls and for our children, for our marriages. Bless that Word for their sakes. In Jesus' name, amen.